I would like you to turn to that verse. I would like you to look at the Bible and actually look at the verse, verse 33 of John chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So our theme this morning is in Christ we have peace. In Christ we have peace. I think we're aware of many people that commit suicide for different, you know, reasons. Just last week, I read a very sad story about a young man in Zambia who committed suicide. He had been wanting to buy a vehicle. He saved up quite some money. And then he trusted a friend to import the vehicle for him. And this person disappeared with his money. And he had also borrowed some money from other people to try and meet the various costs for that vehicle. In the end, he got so depressed that he committed suicide. And for different reasons, people have no peace and they commit suicide. Here the Bible says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. Now, the book of John, before we go into a lot of detail, we need to be familiar with what the book of John, you know, is about. In chapter 20, I think every one of us, when we study the book of John, we must go to this verse. In John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So the book of John was written so that we may know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God. And once we know that, we are persuaded to believe in him. You know, the book of Matthew, for example, is about Jesus as king. But the book of John is about the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And there are a number of things that are done in this particular book to prove that he is God. Now, that is very important for us to bear in mind when we are looking at this particular, you know, book, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And then the passage that we have been looking at, the Lord Jesus Christ is basically bidding farewell to his disciples. There are a number of things that he says to them. And it is in this context that he says, in the world you will have trouble, but in me you have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So a number of things that we need to consider here. We will just follow this verse as it is, basically. There are a number of lessons that we can draw from there. I'll pose some questions. The first question I want to pose is, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Because he says, these things I have spoken to you. And you know, in chapter 16, verse 1, he says, these things I have spoken to you. This phrase is being repeated. These things I have spoken to you. What is it that he has said, you know, to them? Well, in his farewell speech, he says in chapter 16, verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God, you know, service. The Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples, I am about to go. I came from eternity, from my Father. And I came temporarily in this world and lived on earth. And I am going to my Father, you know, eternally as well. But I want you, my disciples, to be aware of this. that when I am gone, persecution is going to come. You are going to suffer for preaching me. For preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, persecution is expected. And you need to be aware, you know, of this. But it's not only going to be persecution. He says, when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Look at, you know, verse 12. This is very chapter 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth. So He's preparing them that He's gone, yes, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. And when they are converted, those who are believers, the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in them. In fact, in Romans we are told, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Him. A Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You cannot become a Christian without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And so He says, the Spirit is going to come when I go away. This is what He's telling them. And He says that when I go away, I'll come again. Chapter 16 and verse 5. But now I go away to Him who sent me. Right? Chapter 16, verse 28. He says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing them, say, look, I came, I lived here temporarily, and I am going to the Father. And remember this, there is that what we call the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He has not, you know, gone forever. He's going to come and take His own. So now, just think about this speech that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling His disciples. After His farewell speech, as it were, He says, I'm going away. But you will receive persecution when you preach the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, you are going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He is going to guide you. He is going to lead you. He is going to help you what to say even when you are persecuted. I am going to come back. Yes, I'm going away. But there is such a thing as the second coming, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, I will come back. So the Lord tells His disciples this particular, you know, message. The second thing I want us to think about is, what was the source of peace that Jesus told His disciples about? What is the source of peace? The source of peace. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He says, in me you have peace. We read in Ephesians 2:14 that He is our peace. The source of genuine peace in the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we try and find our peace in different things of this world, we will struggle unless we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are in Him, we will have genuine peace. You will have genuine peace. The Bible talks about, at one time we were enemies with God. And then now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has reconciled us to God. And so now we have peace with God. We can enjoy that peace with God. But at the same time, on our day-to-day living, by prayer and supplication, we can have peace of mind. We can rest in the Lord because we belong, you know, to Him. 1948, the United Nations set up the Charter of Peace so that the world, there will no longer be a third world war. You know, there will no longer be any war in the world. The Second World War was terrible. You know, the whole of Europe was flattened, as it were, because of the war. That is not going to happen anymore. United Nations is up and about peace. What happened? Right in Europe, you have wars that have come up so many times. Right now, we are in a very delicate situation. Right? What is happening in Ukraine? What is happening in, you know, in Israel and so on? It's a very delicate situation for the world. The United Nations have said we will no longer have wars in Europe, no longer have wars around the world, no longer world war. But where are we? It is not only in Europe. There are issues, you know, in different countries in Africa. There are issues in other parts of the world where, you know, there's enmity. Within the same community, the same people are fighting each other, you know, killing one another from the same country sometimes. There is no peace. There's no peace. So the United Nations has basically failed in terms of giving the world, you know, peace. And sometimes we think, oh, we're going to get peace maybe in some different ways, and it just hasn't worked. So the Lord Jesus Christ plainly put it, the source of peace is in Christ. That's what the verse tells us here. In me, you may have peace. But what is that? How do you get to a point where you are in him? And this is the critical part. Unless you are born again, unless you are a child of God, unless you have repented, unless you have believed in the Lord, you will not have that peace that the Lord is talking about. See, there has to come a time when you realize that you cannot change yourself. You are born a sinner, and your life is such a way that you don't honor God at all. You may not have killed anyone, but the fact is, when you are born in the world, you are already born a sinner. And you've tried all sorts of things to change yourself, and you failed. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. When we are all sinners, and we cannot change ourselves, no matter how much you work at changing yourself, you can never change yourself unless you humble yourself like Zacchaeus. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, come and change me. And the Lord himself will come and change you. He'll give you a new heart. You know, the Bible says, my son, give me your heart. The battleground is the heart of man. And that is where the Lord says, once you come and surrender your life to me, you will be a changed person. The Lord will give you peace. When did you repent and give your life to the Lord? When did you ask the Lord to come and change you? When did you repent and become a child of God? When? Do you know that this has taken place in your life? If it hasn't, you still have a problem to do with being a child of God. Repentance is a must for you to be a child of God. And the third question. What were the disciples expected? What were the disciples to expect from the world? What were the disciples to expect from the world? What does it say in there? In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have trouble. In the world, you'll have persecution. I'll just read one verse in Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, where the Bible reads, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you are a child of God, people will make fun of you at work, at home, wherever. So the disciples were told clearly that don't expect that it's going to be easy going for you. And they are true to his word. You know, from the day of Pentecost, when Peter began to preach, and the Sanhedrin, you know, Peter and John, when they went around preaching, you know, they were locked up here, you know, they were beaten. You know, the people of God, the disciples of the Lord, were killed for their faith, for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how James was killed. The Lord said, expect persecution that will come, simply because you are a child of God. In the world, you are going to have trouble. The trouble is simply because you are a child of God. And the Bible here says in Timothy, if you desire to live a Christian life, you desire a godly life, you desire to live according to the scriptures, the persecution will come. It will come as a result of you wanting to please the Lord, you know, in your life. It comes in different forms. In other countries, you may physically be beaten or locked up and things like that. But some other countries, there's a lot of ridicule. Sometimes there's a lot of discrimination on the basis of your faith. There are different things that happen. Some preachers are locked up and they said, you know, you shouldn't preach in the public and places like that. This is what a child of God should expect, that the world is not going to applaud you and say, well, yeah, you are doing a wonderful job being a Christian. No, no, no. There will be persecution. There will be trouble. Expect that to happen. And the Lord tells his disciples, you know, about that. The last question is, why would the disciples be expected to be of good cheer? You know, he tells them there, but be of good cheer. I mean, he's telling them, you are going to suffer persecution. But then at the same time he says, but be of good cheer. I mean, how can I be of good cheer when I'm suffering? Well, there's a reason why he says that. When he says, he's trying to tell them, you must be confident. You must, you know, go forward because I have overcome the world. He puts that very clear. I have overcome the world. And therefore, even as you suffer, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The devil is defeated. What is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is what is in the world. And the Lord says, I have overcome the world. You, as my disciples, I want you to carry on the assignment that I've given you. I have overcome the world. There's no peace out there. I have overcome the world. Pay attention, you know, to what I want to say. Now, the verse is short, but there's a lot in it. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's telling his disciples. This was not written to us. This was written to those people of the day. It was for their edification. The Lord was talking to his disciples. But the amazing thing is that what is written here is also for our benefit. Remember, the book of John, these things were written so that we may know that Jesus is God. Does this show anything about Jesus being God? Of course it does. There is no one who can give peace in the world apart from God himself. There is no one who has overcome the devil in this world apart from God. And so the Lord is saying, I am the Almighty God in front of you. And this is why I am telling you these things, so that you may believe in me. United Nations, intelligent PhD people have failed to give us peace in the world. They failed. And the Lord says, in me you will have peace. So now, there are things that we can learn ourselves from this passage. And the first thing I want us to pay attention to is basically to pay attention to what Jesus says. What the Lord Jesus Christ says, we need to pay attention. The world pays a lot of attention to the media, especially these days with the social media. You know, what is in the news? You know, what has the president of the USA said? You know, what has the president of this country said? What about this one? And what about this? This is what we are paying attention to. Now, this passage is telling us, let us pay attention to what Jesus says. We need to read what the Gospels say. Let the Lord Jesus Christ speak to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ came to execute the plan that God had. God so loved that the Son came, he lived amongst us, he died, he was buried, he rose again. The plan of God was put in place, he executed it. And so that whoever believes in him should have eternal life, should have the Holy Spirit living in him. We must pay attention to what Jesus says. The challenge to all of us is, do we read the Gospels? Do we read the Bible? Do we read the Scriptures? On a regular basis, do we actually want to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in the Word of God? Or we spend a lot of time on TV, or in the newspapers, or talking, but not listening to what Jesus says? I mean, the Gospels are full of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. There's so much in there, but many are the times that we don't pay attention. Each one of us is encouraged to pay attention to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He talked about the kingdom of God. Unless you repent, you are going to perish. You know, he talked about hell. He talked about heaven. He talked about a lot of things in the Gospels that we need to hear what he has said. See, in this particular chapter, where it says, these things I have spoken. He has spoken a lot of things, and we need to pay attention to that. Do we have in our diary a time to just read what Jesus has said? We need to do that. Otherwise, we will miss the mark. We need to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, and so that we can apply that, you know, to our lives. There are people who come up with, I've got a new revelation which is not in the Bible and things like that. Don't waste your time with that. The Bible is complete, and what Jesus said is here. You don't need any other new revelation. A second lesson we can draw from here, there are many lessons we can get from here, but here's one. This is about the four sources of peace. You know, there are people who tell you that there is peace maybe when you get very educated. You not just get your first degree, you get your master's. And after you get your master's, you get your PhD. And then after your PhD, you write so many papers, you know, for the world. You attend so many conferences. There you're going to have your peace. The others will say, once you get a good job, or you become an entrepreneur, or you make a lot of money, and so you're a billionaire, and so on, there will find your peace. No. In the world, there is no peace. Only Christ satisfies. Somebody said, there's a vacuum in us which only God can satisfy. Unless the Lord comes into our lives, we can pursue all sorts of things in life. We'll never get the satisfaction. Only if I finish school. Only if I get a good job. Only if I get married. Only if I get children. Only if I retire. Only if I can fly. There is no end to pursuits that men will make. I think we need to read this verse in 1 John. 1 John in chapter 2. We need to be aware of what is in the world and really doesn't give us, you know, the peace that we are looking for. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all that is in the world. And you see, we can spend time pursuing things like this and never get satisfied. Peace only comes from knowing Christ. Permanent peace. Right? Lasting peace. You know, eternal peace comes from the Lord. And that is in Him. That we must believe. Then you talk about the world of troubles. There's another thing that we need to think about. You know, there's trouble sometimes which is caused by political leaders, in where they sometimes kill, you know, their own people. There's a story in the Bible of I think Pilate, you know, being able to kill certain Galileans. And then there was also a tower that fell on people. So you find the tower was more of a natural disaster. You know, like the tsunami. The trouble comes uninvited. It just comes. But you also have political leaders who cause a lot of trouble in the world. And you can't run away from it. And then the children of God, there's the persecution for being a child of God. So in the world, there is trouble. But the Lord says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome, you know, the evil one. And so, for us to be safe, we need to run to the Lord. For us to be safe, we need to run to the Lord. And not run to the things of this world, the pleasures of this world. They will never take us anywhere. There is no one greater, you know, than the Lord. So why fear, for example, let's talk about evangelism. Why fear your boss to share the gospel with him or her? The Lord Jesus Christ is greater, you know, than your boss. You have much more power with you. You are on the stronger side, as it were, than, you know, whoever is out there, whether it's your parent or your child. There are people who fear their own children. I remember when I was doing pastoral work in Zambia, we go and visit a couple, and the TV is on, and the child is in charge. The two-year-old child is in charge. And said, so, you know, can we have the TV off? And this child tells the parents off and doesn't want it to be switched off. And they can't do anything. You know, they're powerless. The child is in charge. I mean, how can you fear a child? So many children, I mean, in the UK, many children you find to go to church, the parents have to plead and ask for permission. Okay, in Zambia we just say, let's go. But I mean, how can we be afraid of our own children, of our own parents, of our own bosses when we are on the stronger side? We with God, we are on the stronger side. The Lord has overcome the world. And therefore, we should confidently, you know, go forward and share the gospel with any man, with anyone, from any culture, at any age, it doesn't matter. We should be willing to say, this is how I became a Christian. This is how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the others, you know, can consider him as well. But many of the problems we have is just, we are so afraid of the non-Christian. And we are very scared of whatever they are going to say. No, no, no. We need to be confident that the Lord has overcome the world. We need to be of good cheer. We should be excited people with the gospel and go out there and share with others. Because we are on the Lord's side. We are on the stronger side. I hope each one of us will learn a lesson from the fact that in Christ we have peace. Do you have this peace? Do you know this peace? If you are not aware of this peace, please speak to the church leaders here, and so that you can be able to help you how you can come to know the Lord. Let's just pray together.